We had the conference this week. And those that went to the conference can just come and say something for about 2 minutes each, 3 minutes each, 5 minutes each. All right. Come on. Who else went? Come up on the stage. Amen. The theme of the conference is People of Nations. So it was rather nice. And thank you for your prayers. It was really quite lovely. Hallelujah. I had an old lady came over, and she's been in ministry for many, many years with her husband. And one time her husband was the secretary of our movement. And she said to me, "I talked to 5 Indian ladies today. And I've never done that before." Isn't that amazing? Hey. And she said, I was myself, and I loved it, and they loved it." That was really lovely. It's nice. It's like being in our church. Hallelujah. I want them to talk quite a long time because I don't know what I'm going to say. I thought they would, by the time they finish, I can do communion and go home. But have a look at Psalm 19. We are talking on the pillars of our church. We talk on fellowship, and then we spoke on the prophetic insight, and spoke a little bit on the fivefold ministry to give you a perspective of the ministries that God has put in His church. And we want to talk on the Bible-based truth. There's so many truths, but some of them are not based in the Word of God. The grass is green is a truth. Are you all right? And the sea is wet is a truth. Are you okay? So there are many truths, and part of the pillars of our church is the Bible-based truth, the truth of the Word of God. And I just want to share from Psalm 19 where we end up. It is anybody's guess, but we'll start from there. All right, is that okay? It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork." The heavens declare. Now, whether you declare the glory of God or not, the heavens are never silent. And the heavens constantly, 24/7, like the seraphims before the throne of God who cry, "Holy, holy, holy," day and night, the heavens declare the glory of God. We may not declare the glory of God, even though we are the crown and pinnacle of His creativity. But the heavens, the Bible says, declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God. That means there's no such thing as an atheist unless they are stupid. Why? Because the heavens declare the glory of God. And unless you're absolutely ignorant and you don't live under the heavens, maybe you live somewhere else where there's no heaven, but if you live under heaven, the heavens declare the glory of God. And you've got no excuse to come before God and say, "I did not know you." And God's going to say, "Where did you live? Did you live on earth?" Yes. "Were there any heavens over your head?" Yes. "Why didn't you listen to the heavens?" Why? Because the heavens declare the glory of God. Are you all right? If you have ears to hear, if you have eyes to see, you have no excuse. Not only that, God has put eternity in your heart. Whether you disbelieve God or whatever, God has put eternity in your heart, and the heavens declare the glory of God. And then he says, the firmament shows his handiwork. God puts his signature in the heavens. The Christmas hymn writer says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and their sound forth tells his... Did you learn that? The sound forth tells his wondrous name. Hallelujah. What do you call those lights in the northern hemisphere? What do you call them? They say in Wellington, there's a hum in Wellington they can't even identify. They're trying to find out what it is. How can a whole city hum? Hello? It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech. That means the days actually talk. The days speak to you. When was your birthday? Why does it speak to you? Why do you celebrate it? Because the days actually speak. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Because Christmas speaks to us. Why do we come to church on a Sunday? Because the days speak. Are you all right? Now, the days speak, and then he says, the night unto night reveals knowledge. So the days talk, and the nights reveal. There's a revelation you can get in the night. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Is this alright? If it's not alright, we'll do something different. The days speak. And Elihu or Elihu, you know who he is? He's the friend of Job, little fella. And when they came to comfort him, the guy just sat there for about 7 days, said nothing. His friend sat there for 7 days, said nothing. And then they started to speak. And if you listen to what they say, sounds very wise, but very stupid. And then the young man said, I did not say anything. I thought that the ears can talk, that the days of your ears will reveal some wisdom. But I realize now that not even great men have wisdom. So let me speak something from a youth perspective. And then he says this, and this is something that you need to understand. He said, it's not age that gives you wisdom, even though it should. It says, it's the Spirit of God that is in man. When that spirit comes into a man, whether he's black or white, whether he's old or young, whether it's a woman or a male, that spirit will give the human being wisdom. Hallelujah. But it says the days speak. 9/11 to the Americans as a loud voice. Eh? But then it says, night reveals knowledge. And we'll just go through this because we've shared this a little bit before. One of the greatest things a night reveals is that you die. It doesn't matter how alive you are in the day, when the night comes, you what? You go to sleep. It's like if every moment is a day and every day is a lifetime, then from morning till night is the span of your life. But night you sleep. Night you practice to die. And every night you practice death. That's a revelation that many people don't know. You're dead at night. You resurrect in the morning. The sun rises in the morning. But last night you practice to die. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Now, if you never woke up this morning, huh? The only reason you know it's morning is because you woke up. If you never woke up, why? Because at night, you practice to die. You live a lifetime in one day, from the day you were born, the birthing of a new day, until twilight, and then you die, and then you're resurrected in the morning. And night reveals knowledge. The day speaks, but night reveals knowledge to you. And one of the greatest things that you need to understand is that however strong you are, however educated, however wealthy you may be, however good healthy you are, you're going to die one day. Why? Because at night, you die. Now, we don't want our loved ones to die. When they die, we mourn. But death is part of life. And it's a revelation that night gives to us. How many were awake all night last night? Oh, you. People are awake as they work, but night is for sleeping. Amen. And then it says, there is no speech nor language, verse 3, where their voice is not heard. There is no speech or language where the day and night, their voices are not heard. They speak Maori. They speak Samoan. They speak Russian. Hello? They speak Chinese. They speak Malay. They speak Korean. 안녕하세요. Oh, hallelujah. Amen? Verse 4. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Where are you supposed to preach the gospel? To the end of the world. From the end of the earth will I cry unto you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And it says, their voice and their words will carry to the ends of the earth. What has that got to do with Bible-based truth? The heavens, the firmament, the days and night are a book that God has written that everybody can read. And if you don't read it, there is something wrong with your thick head. Why? Because there's a day and night in every life, and everyone sits under heaven. And the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. He says, in them, in the day and night, God has set a tabernacle for the sun. He just regulate when it comes and when it goes. Day and night do that. Which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of the heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Hello? That's just one heavenly body, just the sun. And the sun is the smallest star we know. There are other suns, there are other stars. You can put our whole sun and the whole planetary system, we live inside the one star, and it wouldn't even make a dent. And yet the Bible uses the sun, the smallest star, to tell us that from the rising to the end, from the ends of the earth, there is nothing hidden from the light and the heat of the sun. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Hallelujah. And then in verse 7, God changes the tone. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now, the law, it goes from the heavenly bodies, from creation to the book. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Are you all right? Have you written your submission to the select committee? Good. If you haven't, you got till the 28th, which is about, when is that? About Friday? Wednesday? 26th. It's the 21st today. So make sure you write it. All right. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, when it says the law of the Lord, and when it says the testimony of the Lord, all those are titles of the Word of God. Oh, when it says the law, it's talking about the Word of God. It's talking about the Bible. When it says the testimony, it's talking about the Bible. You will find all the names of the Word of God in Psalm 119. The precepts, the Word, the law, the testimony. Hello? So, it changes from nature to a book, to what God laid down. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony, the word of the Lord, is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. All these are titles of this book. The word, the statutes, the commandment, the testimony. Hello? God shifts from creation to His book. If creation is not enough, God has written a book. He not only wrote creation, He's writing in the firmament, declare, and He signs His signature in the firmament and then takes you from creation and the firmament to the book. Hallelujah. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than cell phones, iPads, microphones, cameras. Hello? More to be desired than the way we pursue wealth. And we pursue wealth every day of our lives. At least 8 hours a day you're pursuing some money. And yet it says, more to be desired is this book than fine gold. How many Bibles have you got? How many Bibles do you read? Are you okay? Labana Research Group says, in their research, it says this, the church, this is the most illiterate generation in the church. We've got more Bibles in more translations. We've got Bibles on iPads and iPhones. We've got Bibles everywhere, but this is the most illiterate generation in the history of the church. That's anathema. when they surveyed the Americans, the church, everybody said, we value that book. But when they asked the questions from the book, they said, who's Noah's wife? Joan of Arc. I'm not trying to be funny. About 70% of the people, church-going Americans, were asked, who's Joan of Arc? They said, it's Noah's wife. Hello? They thought that Billy Graham preached the Sermon on the Mountain. Well, Billy Graham preached, but he didn't preach that sermon. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and McDonald's ice cream and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, by the commandment, by the testimony, by the statutes, by the word, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is little reward. Great reward. Are you all right? Who can understand his errors? Hello? We do them every day. Who can understand his errors? How do you know you're wrong? Are you all right? Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Secret faults. We have secret faults, but who can understand the things that you do? And people of nations is a great theme, because what is kosher in one culture is terrible in another. And you don't know. Hello? When the Raven Hills went from Ireland to live in America, the Americans said, don't you associate with the Raven Hill kids. They swear. Leonard Raven Hill said to his children, don't you associate with the American kids. They swear. They just have different English. Are you all right? I watched a talkback show one time many years ago, and I was shocked. I said, did she say that? And then she said it again. Hello? Who knows their own errors? We were having a meal at a motel in Rotorua. It was quite a group of distinguished gentlemen. There were ministers. I was just a rookie starting out in ministry. And someone asked me a question, and I was eating. And then the wife of the president of the group, quite a very sophisticated lady, she said to me, Illy, aren't you going to answer Jonathan's question? I said, no. She said, why? I said, I'm eating. I've only got one mouth. And right now I'm using my mouth to eat. Now, she got her first cultural lesson that day. And then I went back to eating. She never said anything else until I finished and I started to talk. When you're young in Samoa, you don't talk and eat. You just eat. And if you talk and eat, your mother will say, you've only got one mouth. Now, if I do that here, if I don't talk while you're eating, who knows his own errors? You have to go to the Word of God to discover that maybe you were wrong. Maybe somebody else is right. Cleanse me from secret faults. How do you do that? The Word of God. How do you know rhubarb is edible? There's not a scripture in the Bible that tells you to eat it. I'm just having you on. But I tell people, don't you tell me what to eat. Bible says, everything is good to eat. They're sanctified by the thanksgiving and the Word of God. By what? By the Word of God. If you've got faith enough to eat rhubarb, go ahead and eat it. Did you know if you lived in the Old Testament, you couldn't eat strawberries? And you can't eat cashews? Why? Because the cashew fruit has the seed outside of the fruit. And strawberry seeds are outside the fruit. You're not supposed to eat it. But they're sanctified by the Word of God and thanksgiving. Huh? So don't just eat strawberries, pray for it. Hallelujah. I'm just having you on. Who knows his errors? That's the point. That's what I'm saying. Who knows his errors? They ask Wigglesworth to say grace one time, and now this is what he said. I didn't say that, okay? This is what he said. He said, what's the meal? He said, pork. He said, I'm not going to bless what the Bible has cursed. Now, he said that. I said, I didn't say that. He said that. You read his history. Now, do you eat pork? If you got faith enough to eat it, go ahead. My wife doesn't eat pork. I eat all our pork. Is she wrong? No. Am I wrong? No. Romans 14. Some people eat by faith, and some people restrict from eating by faith. Are you okay? When do you worship God? Saturday or Sunday? Every day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Which day is that? Every day. Hallelujah. Keep back your servants also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of the great transgression. I haven't got time to do that. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. But the titles of the Word of God are varied and many. But the Bible says this. It's in Matthew chapter 5. Says this. Verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Not one chot, not one tittle. What is that? A chot are those little commas and things in the Hebrew alphabet. It's like the you dot the I and cross the T's. It says, the heavens will pass away. The earth will pass away. Not one dot on an I of the book, not one cross in the T of the book will ever be wiped away. How? This has more power to endure than the heavens above and the earth beneath. This word is settled in heaven forever, forever. You can put your faith in the book and the God of the book because the book endures. Hallelujah. I'm not angry. I'm just trying to emphasize the point. Hallelujah. Now that's an amazing thing. How enduring is the Word of God? It endures forever. The Bible says the truth, His truth endures forever, from generation to generation, to generation to generation. His truth endures. But God has two books. It's this book and that book. It's creation and the book. He wrote them both. And when Paul wrote to the Romans, who were powerful and intellectual, had the philosophy and the language of the Greeks and the power of the Roman muscle, he said, no man has an excuse when you stand before God. Why? If you can't read that book, you can read that book. If you can't hear that book, you can hear that book. Hallelujah. And the book says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do declare, as much as the heavens declare the glory of God, every time we come to have communion, we declare Christ's death until He comes. Until He comes. He's coming again. Amen. And He's coming soon. And very soon. We sang some old songs at the conference. And when they sang, everybody looked around. They said, there's room at the cross. Then we sang what's that song? Higher, higher. Lift Jesus higher. And all these modern musicians and modern songs and things. And I got up and said, how do you sing an old song? You sing an old song with a new spirit. I said, the Bible's older than the song, and we're still reading the Bible. Hallelujah. We sang this room at the cross. My God, I said, this is not a salvation call. This is a commitment call. Hallelujah. The Bible says, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do declare the Lord's death. Until He comes again. We can put our faith in the Word of God. And even if that is the only statement in the Word of God that tells you about the return of Jesus, it is sufficient. Now, there are churches who have communion but don't believe in the return of Jesus. The communion statement of the great apostle is that you do this until He comes. We are looking forward to a glorious hope that Jesus Christ is coming. I have those that are ministering the emblems to come.